Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Polished Woman, only on LA Talk Radio.
Being host.
The Polished Woman.
And now your award-winning host, Jessica R. Bunavaj. Have a great show.
Thanks, Max. Oh my God, that is so nice to, what do you call it, to hear. Award-winning host. Woo-hoo! I love it. Hey, happy Monday. Happy voting week or happy voting day to everyone. The eve of voting. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen, but whatever it is, you know, we should accept it and be happy and just move on with our lives, right? So, yeah, I know a lot of people are having anxiety. Everyone is like literally, I'm sure from today till tomorrow, we're going to be tuned in on TV. So let's see. So the most common way people give up their power is by thinking they don't have any, by Alice Walker. Ah, you always have something. That's also good. So each day and every day of our lives, we make choices. Some of these choices are small, like what we're going to eat for lunch or for dinner, or if we're going to send a text to someone or call them, and then we forget, right? Some of these choices are much larger, like if we're going to start a new business or if we're going to move, you know, somewhere. Since 2020 is an election year, we're also faced with making another choice. Who we're going to vote for November 3? And this is a political decision, but in many ways, it's also a personal one, because when you vote for any type of elected official, you're not just voting for the person, right? You're also voting for what it is that they, you know, that they claim to value. And it's good for the, you know, when we vote, we have to think of the children of our children, the future of our children, and the children of our children. Is that right? Yeah, so I'm really, really excited, you know, for tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to it. But whatever it is, you know, we just have to understand. We just have to, you know, I hope that it will be a peaceful, you know, voting situation tomorrow. But, and yes, and we need to vote, please, whoever. Wait, I think this is my, actually, you know what? This is my first time to vote. In my whole life, like literally my first time. I have not voted.
Gosh.
Yes, I was like so excited actually.
Well, you know, I want to tell everyone real quick, Jess, it's not too late to vote. If you have a mail ballot, do not mail in the ballot. You have to go tomorrow.
Yes.
Show up in person, wear your masks, you know, do social distancing, do whatever you need to do. Be patient and be calm and be present. Be peaceful. And if you feel that there's a disturbance around you, we are going to post on Jessica's Instagram at the Polished Woman. There's hotlines to call if you feel you are being threatened in your voting line. So we'll post that today. All right.
Yeah, just wear your mask and wear your gloves. If you're scared to touch anything, right? Just wear your gloves.
Well, congratulations on being able to vote. I think it's wonderful. You're an immigrant. English is your first language. You came to this country to start a wonderful life. You're living your life. You're winning awards. You're doing your thing. And now you get to vote. So welcome to the voting process. I'm proud of you, Jessica.
Yeah, I was actually excited. I did my research. You know what? Yeah, do your research. You know, there are a lot of things there that actually I don't, you know, English is my second language. Sometimes I don't really comprehend, you know, the stuff that was written there. So I was like, oh my gosh. But, you know, I had my husband who helped me, and it was really, really good. And I was so excited. I wanted to take pictures, but there were so many people there, so I didn't want to take pictures. But that was good. So today, this is the reason why I want to talk about this, you know, for a while with someone that, you know, I feel like she's the right person. You know, what is that? What do you call that, Max? When you're not a Democrat and when you're not
nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan. Oh, I'm learning about the government. Shoot. So today I am joined by the incredible Latasha Thomas, who is currently a government affairs attorney. Oh my gosh. Prior to June 2015, Latasha was a four-term former alderman on the Chicago City Council. During her tenure, she served as chairman of the Education Committee, where she spearheaded vital education issues affecting the Chicago public schools and City Colleges of Chicago. Throughout her tenure on the City Council, she continued to practice law. She initiated, planned, and executed residential and commercial development throughout the city. She lobbied on behalf of all Chicagoans. Is it Chicagoans before the governor of Illinois and his cabinet members of the Illinois General Assembly, Congress, and federal agency. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to have her on our show. She's a legislator. Yeah, a lobbyist. Oh my gosh. Yes, and she is also an advocate of a legislation. Education. See, I'm learning from this government, you know, thing. So welcome to our show, Latasha Thomas. Hi. Yeah. Hello, Latasha.
Hey.
I'm so sorry. And I educate Ash, English is my second language. So
you sound good to me.
No, and I'm really, this is, as I mentioned, this is the first time my whole life, you know, I'm from the Philippines, I'm from Asia, I've never voted. So this is the first, and I feel, and the reason why I really voted this time is I feel like we needed to vote. Like, you know, I know it's one vote for me, but you know what? I feel like it's my vote, and my vote counts, and it has the right. Is that right?
You know what I say is, yeah, it be absolutely your only voice in the political realm. It is your only voice. Everything else that you're talking about is heard until you make that vote.
Oh my gosh.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thank you. I know you're very, very busy. Yeah. And you still came to our show. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay.
For me, for people like me, who are immigrants, I want you to just explain before the voting process, what is an alderman? I was trying to like research it yesterday.
So I am an alderman for the city of Chicago, third largest city in the United States.
I know.
An alderman is what you would consider a city council person.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're the legislative branch for the city's government or municipal government. We're the legislative branch.
Yeah.
City of Chicago, there are 50 of us, representing roughly 75,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's
but did you have to be voted in? Yeah, did you have to be voted in?
Absolutely. So
run
for a four-year term.
Wow. So you ran a campaign, you did the whole, you know, thing. How was it?
So I grew up in politics. My grandparents.
Oh, you did. Okay.
They weren't. I'm the first elected official. They were always behind the scenes doing things. So I always knew that I wanted to consult and give advice to elected officials. I studied political science in undergraduate before going to law school. Mm-hmm. So. My grandparents did it. My parents did it. Went up and down, knocking on doors with my mom because she would send my sister and I up the stairs. The door would open quickly with us, two little girls dressed alike. And then after studying it, I had ideas. I was in a political organization, so we had ideas about how to campaign.
Okay.
There, it is nothing like being the candidate. You think you know, wow. I've been advised, I've been a campaign manager, everything that you can think of, campaign I've been, there's nothing like being the candidate.
Wow. Yeah. How so? I mean, so you basically, so this drew you to politics, being surrounded, being, you know, in the growing up with the whole, you know, politicians in your family. What do you, you know, for someone who's actually looking to get into local politics in their own area, what advice can you, you know, can you give them? Because, you know, I want to, don't you want to push more women to be
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you this. Women, we don't have a lot of time to lollygag on an issue. We think of we're going to resolve the issue and move on to the next thing. So we're the best type of elected official because we're trying to get things done. That's how we are. And so we need more people like that to get things done.
Uh-huh.
I think that if you want to be, if you're interested in being in politics and kind of having more influence on your local elected official or statewide, you should volunteer.
Yes, you start. You really start from the lowest, you know, like a volunteer first.
It's the best
around
way.
The area. Yeah, you can't just like, you can't just like, oh, just because I have what do you call it, finance people that can fund me or something. Yeah. Then you know you're famous or something. Then you wanna run. So it's not
because
like that.
You really don't know.
Yeah.
So you know your community. You think you know your community, but you really need to get out there. Talk with them. See more than just your opinion, because if you become elected official, it's not your personal opinion.
Yes.
It's community's opinion and what's best for the community.
Yeah. What did you learn about, you know, your community during your campaign, like during your service as an alderman, a former alderman?
Yeah. So I had different organization sections that helped me think about different ideas. I had a minister alliance. I had block club presidents. I had a senior alliance. I had a youth alliance. And they all gave me different ideas about, there are things that I probably personally would have voted against, but my community really wanted it. So I had to really think deep and talk to the community and those different community organizations about a way to go.
Oh, wow. Have you learned anything? Have you learned any, you know, anything after becoming an alderman that you wished you knew before, you know, taking that role, that particular role?
Yeah. So really how government works.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, how the budget works, where pots of funds actually are used and how they're used.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something that...
Do you get a certain budget, like on a yearly, or I don't know, or every 6 months that you're allotted?
No, you have a... Yes. You, at least in the city of Chicago, the alderman had a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Every alderman has one set budget. And then if you have, if you are in charge of a committee within the council, budget for the committee. Each alderman hires staff. It's the same with your state legislature.
Yes.
And Congress. They all have a budget that allows them to have staff. You can hire researchers, the whole thing, so you can get a better idea of what legislation you should put forth and how you should vote for your community or your district or your state. Yeah.
Wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
So now you practice attorney as well, right? So how were you able to balance your role as a practicing attorney and then a member of city council? I mean,
you know what?
You know, it's like a double job, right?
It was.
Yeah. And
mom and wife. My kids grew up while I was an alderman. And like I said, women, we don't have time to gag on an issue. We got to get it done and move on to the next thing. And I think I had a schedule. I had For an example, I would come home and have dinner and then go to a community meeting afterwards to make sure with them. Yeah.
Wow.
A village. My in-laws, my mother-in-law was a retired principal of a school, so she taught also. Mm-hmm. She got their homework done after school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a village. My husband and I had different days for pickup at school or whatever was happening at school. So, you know, Monday was the swing day. Tuesday, Thursday, I had Wednesday, Friday, that kind of thing. And so we had plenty and we got it done. I also practiced not as much. I practiced, but not like, you know, it wasn't full time. I was a litigator and I took on one case a year.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of other stuff. And I had staff to, you know, support me. So I had staff for my, as an attorney and staff at Alderman. And then a village family for the family. And that's how you get it done. You work, everybody works together.
Wow. See, ladies, moms out there, there are no excuses.
You
can make everything happen. And remember, community, right? It's a big help. I mean, a big help to have that village, to have, you know, just help. I mean, so there's no excuse. I want to do personal. Did you have date nights with your husband, though?
You know what? We've never called it date night, but we did have personal time. I will tell you this. When I was studying for the bar, I had my daughter when I was in my last year of law school.
Yeah.
She was a infant. So I had scheduled time. So my husband's time was 10 to midnight. If you fall asleep 10 to midnight, it's your time, because I studied. I had time with her till 1 p.m. And then I took her to a sitter and I went to go study. I had two classes I would go to, the study for the bar. And then I got home about 9:30. So from 10 to midnight, we could talk, whatever it is we need to do or can do. Or that was our time.
I love that. Did you hear that, Vabs? I love this. 10 to 12. I think I'm going to do this. You have 2 hours with me.
Date night is a great because you make sure with all of the hustle and bustle of life
that
you have time for each other.
Yeah. No, I love this idea. Oh, I think I'm going to put this in my next book. People who are busy. See, for women, for moms out there who have, you know, you're working, blah, 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 whatever. So find the time. Find that time. I'm sorry. I had to go to this relationship thing again. It's always in my blood to talk about it. All right. So what advice? Let's get into voting now. What advice? Okay, let's see this first. What advice do you have for a woman who is, that's already. During election season, was there anything in particular that you did to encourage the community to get out and vote?
So one of the things that, first off, let me just say, 100 years since women have had the right to vote. August 1920 was the year women got the right to vote.
Yes.
100 years. And for the last 40 or 50 years, have outvoted in percentages men. Right? So when you vote, which is your biggest speech, when you vote, you tell the elected officials that you're voting for what you believe and feel, right? So even if the person you voted for didn't win, they know that 20 or 40% of the people in my district or in my state think this way. So after you win, you represent everybody in that district, right? So your voice, whether you're on the losing end or not, your voice has to be heard. And the only way they know that 4% of the vote, if those people are voting, if you're winning by 80, 90%, and I must say my first election, I won by 87% of the vote. But if you win by that much, that as an elected official, what you campaigned on is what you think the entire district believes, right? And
Yes.
But if some of the things that you didn't campaign on, the other person, you as a constituent, voted for, mm-hmm. you take that into consideration once you win. That's your voice.
Yeah.
You know that 40% of the people in your district wants X. So you got to take that into consideration when you are voting or making laws. And that's how it continues to happen. And also know that if you don't make those changes or consider them, the next time you're up for election, you probably won't be in because you have a part of your district that doesn't like what you're doing. And they told you that.
Yeah, that's
because
so
they
true.
Told you in your vote, in their vote. That's your speech. Listen to the will of the people.
How do they get, you know, women to go out there and really vote? Like tomorrow. I mean, you know, because at Latasha, I know a lot of like areas or people that I know of are still undecided. They're still like, some of them don't even know, you know, and some of them just don't want to. Okay, there is like this big, what do you call this question that I have for you. Like, for example, I live in LA and I live in a very Democrat area, right? Democratic area. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I know a couple of people, like, for example, my in-laws are very Republican. I'm not saying they didn't vote, but there are a lot of people like them. Oh, just because I'm Republican, I'm not going to vote anyways, you know, because it's not going to matter. My vote will never matter in California.
Yeah.
What do you say about, you know, how to encourage people that, okay, even if you live or if you live in an area where it's very Republican and you're a Democrat, you're just not going to vote just because you think this is a Republican area, you know, this is a Republican area and your vote is not going to count, right?
Your vote always counts.
Yes, right?
It always makes a statement.
Yeah.
I think that the folks behind us fought
mm-hmm.
that right to vote. It was a long fight. We just can't toss that in the air like it means nothing. I think your speech always is heard. The Republican hears what that Democratic block of people are saying. And they're saying. And in most communities, that block of Republican or block of Democrat doesn't remain that way for over years.
Mm-hmm.
Each generation, you know, evolves.
Yeah.
That you should always use your voice, which is to vote.
Yeah.
You have to think about what people are through.
Yeah. So how do we vote tomorrow? Like, how do you vote tomorrow? Give us the breakdown. Like, I know, you know what? Yeah. Get out there and vote tomorrow. But of course, don't mail the ballot, right? Do you think the mailing of the ballot is still going to be considered or, you know?
At this point, in most states, some states still have early voting. You can go to a location and actually.
Okay.
At this point, if you asked for a ballot in the mail and you still have it,
yes,
take it to your polling place and drop it in the box.
Okay.
And
do not mail it. Okay.
Don't mail it. There's nothing about anything at this point that you should be doing. That was more than 10 days ago. After 10 days, you shouldn't mail anything. The other thing you can do is just go vote. Take a chair, take something to read, get in line at your local polling place. Give yourself 2-3 hours to go vote.
How about Latasha, how about the women who are intimidated to go out and vote? Some of them are
with them.
Okay.
One of the women's organizations I'm in, we say to take another young man with you to go vote.
Oh.
Because they're not likely to just go vote. men are less likely, young men are less likely to just go vote. Take them with you. Have them stand with you. Have a good conversation. Yeah.
Wow. That's
not be intimidated, afraid to use your voice.
Okay.
Go do it. Take somebody with you.
Yeah. How about, you know what, there's a question here. Can they close the polling station?
Can they what?
Can they close the polling station?
They're not supposed to. Even if you're in line at the end, so most places, the polls close at 7 p.m., right?
So it closes at 7 p.m.
Yeah, so it's usually 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you're fine at 7 p.m., even though the line is long, you should still be able to vote.
Okay, but can they say that? Max is asking how is this?
No, that's part of the law.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
If they lock the door, then you can what? What do you do?
If you're what?
If they lock the door, what do you do?
Call your Board of Elections authorities. You usually have a Board of Elections authority that you call.
Okay.
I was in line before 7 p.m. and they closed the door on me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. See, we need this.
That's challenging.
Yeah. We're gonna write down the phone number on our page. Yeah, on our Instagram about this or who to call for the number. There isn't, unfortunately, a lot of misinformation about what isn't legally allowed at polling places. Are there any things that are illegal everywhere that people should be aware of?
You cannot intimidate a voter. So that's illegal. You cannot. A 100 feet from the polling place. So you have to be more than 100 feet away.
100 feet away from a voter. Okay.
Yeah, to tell somebody who they should be voting for. Here's some postcards on how to vote. Those kind of things. Can't be in the polling place. Can't be intimidated about being voting. So, we're hearing about people in certain states that where they have open and carry guns, and so people are going to, stand around and you're afraid of that. That's illegal to intimidate. So if you're standing around and it's intimidating to the voter, and just standing around and hovering, that kind of thing, that's illegal.
Yeah. But can they call the police?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm sorry.
I think the first thing that they should do is tell the election judge that the election judge that's running the elections in that polling place, that they're intimidated by this individual.
Okay.
So people have a whole process on how to deal with that.
Yeah, knowledge is power. Max, Latasha, in my country, this was before I left, this was like 10 years ago. When you vote there, I've never voted, but, I would always accompany, someone to go vote because I just think that everyone there, you would see people outside the poll area?
Polling place.
With envelopes and stuff. It's crazy. I'm like, this is why, and that's why I said, this is why I don't vote in my country, because look at this. People will get like a couple of $1,000, like $1,000, in peso or $100.
Yeah.
And then, vote.
That's illegal.
It's crazy.
That's illegal. That's illegal here.
Oh my God.
You cannot pay someone to vote your way. That's illegal.
But do you have anything that same thing, or do they do that here?
Well, what you usually do if you're paying someone to vote your way, the jail, you're gonna get caught and go to jail. But what they do is, over 100 feet away from the polling place, you'll have folks.
I love that.
With postcards and paper, and
yeah,
it tells you a suggestion of who you should vote for. When you get to the, when you're on your way to that polling place, you should already know who you're going to vote for all of the different yeah. that are going to be on the ballot. Everyone should do a little bit of research, and not just on social media research, do some real research on the candidates that you're interested in. So you have an idea of who can best, best advocate for you. It's not always the person that you totally like. You're not going to like 100% anybody on the ballot, but closest to your ideals of who would like to see is who you are.
Wait, so Latasha, like me, okay? So when I got the ballot, there, you know, there are people, some people that I don't know. No, this is seriously. Mm-hmm. So I actually called my friend. I was like, do I have to vote for that? I just won't answer because I don't really know this. You know, like the district, there are other things there that I saw that I'm like, I don't know them. I mean, and they were, and she was like, well, what are you? Are you a Democrat or Republican? I said, I'm either. I'm not, I, you know, I'm not a Democrat and I'm not a Republican. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, you know, so who do I vote? And she was just like, maybe you can just leave it, you know, blank. So that's what I did. Yeah. Can you do that?
You can. I like to tell people to really do their research before they get in there. Just about everybody has a couple of positions on there, especially when you get down way low in the ballot, that they know the people. You know, don't be afraid to go in there and vote, even when you don't know about all of the candidates.
Wow. That's
absolutely.
Okay, what is one thing that you know you want women to know right now about tomorrow, about voting tomorrow?
So women are already voting more than men.
Okay.
In percentage-wise. Yes. Mm-hmm. But our voice and our being equal on all footings is still not occurring. We've got to make sure, the only way they pay more attention to us.
Yes.
We vote in larger numbers.
Yes.
You know, if we want equal pay, if we want them to really consider that and keep it moving, we've got to vote in larger numbers.
Okay.
So you've got to go out there and vote. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah, that's true.
Go out there and vote so that the elected officials hear the will of the people. And I am happy that we're starting to get more women to go and try to be an elected official. And the more we do that, the better.
Yeah, that's true.
I just say go out there and vote. Just do it. That's your word. That's your speech. That's your only speech.
How about, you know, there is one that I want to ask you. I want to ask you this. What advice will you give every single one out there who are listening, or for everyone? What advice can you give all of us if the president that we wanted to win did not win? Just to have a peaceful, election, or to have a peaceful future.
I think that the person that you want elected isn't always the person that gets elected.
Yeah.
But if you don't like what's happening, get more involved in your community. Volunteer with your local elected officials. You are first affected by your local officials. Get involved and continue to vote. Don't get discouraged because who you voted for didn't win. Continue to use your voice. Continue to vote.
Yeah. Do you think there will be a peaceful election?
No.
I know.
Sadly,
it's not funny, right? Why? What is happening? That's why this is the first time I'm like, you know what? I'm going to vote. I know I'm not. You know, I'm going to vote.
And you have to continue to vote, Jessica. You can't stop now.
And I've actually heard from some officials last night. Someone called me and they're like, "Hey, don't go out today for a whole week." And I'm like, "Why?" Because the city of Beverly Hills, the city in Los Angeles, they're going to close it. And listen to this. They are saying that all the motels are actually fully booked. Every single motels are booked for the rioters and protesters. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
So I'm hearing things like that, but I can't. There is some civil unrest right now, right? But if there are hotels and motels, that means that there are people coming in from elsewhere.
Yeah.
When I hear things like that, I want to double and triple check the facts, make sure it's not just something, a rumor that's, spreading to, cause fear and make you not want to go out and vote on election day.
Yeah.
Go out and use your vote. Do not be intimidated. And that's pretty much what I've been saying when I hear anything like that.
Yeah.
That's intimidation to try to get you not to vote.
Yeah.
Rain, shine, snow, nothing should stop you from going out there.
The government and in politics for years and years. What is one thing that you, gosh, I feel like you should run for what is one thing that you want to, you want to change in this, maybe in your area, in your country? And if ever you want to run again, what position do you want to run for?
I leave the door open to another elected position, but I don't know what that is. I don't know where I'm needed. But I just want to continue to improve my community, my city, the state. And public service is more than just being an elected official. You can do public service in different ways. And so I consider some of the things that I do now to be part of public service. And I'll continue to do that. It's in my blood.
Yeah. Wow. This is amazing. I'm like, yeah. Wait, what is, oh, what? There's, okay, so wait. There is a Twitter question here. Did you know that women was not allowed to get to have credit cards? When was this? Until 1974?
I didn't. Wow. I'll tell you that a lot of things that women can do or couldn't do, even after they got the right to vote, things start to drop and allow us to do things because out there and vote. We make our voice heard.
Yeah.
So we have to continue to do that. I did not know about that. I noticed that since 1980, the presidential election in 1980, women have been coming out in a larger way. I know that women of color vote in a bigger block and their voice is heard loudly. So eventually I think that we'll be heard as well. Voting is our right and we should use it and make the elected officials do the will of the people.
Wow. So before I watched your video. So before you used to work, in the financial, and I believe that when I went to your website, you help people with small businesses and, financial assistance. Are you still in that, if in case people who are listening right now who have, a little bit of problem here and there, are going through stuff with their businesses and their finances, do you have some way, especially in your area or in any other area, that you may be able to help them?
So I help I help businesses, and I have contacts with other individuals that help businesses, small and medium size, find capital so that they can expand. And then when I was an elected official, I was looking at ways that we could have government funding help businesses expand. Local businesses, small business, they employ the most people in the community, a lot of the different small businesses. And so you want to put those things together, employment and helping the business, not giving them grants, but helping the business build, can continue to hire and flourish in the community. Right now, during the pandemic, we're losing businesses. So we have to stay in place because they are the primary employers in our communities.
Yeah, it's very
I still do that. I still,
do it. Wow. Okay. So for our last, my gosh, we're almost done. For our last, you know, what final advice, you know, aside from like getting out there, you know, oh, and another thing, you know how there's like another, what are those things for the props, whatever? Sometimes, you know, Latasha, I had a hard time really understanding every single questions there, right? If you don't really understand, like, for example, where there was one there that I answered, you know, no, my husband helped me. And he was like, oh my gosh, no, I should have answered yes. You know, like, I mean, is there any guidance on when, you know, like a guide, you know, book or thing where you really, where people can really understand, especially for people who are, you know, who are not from here, who's in English is their second language.
So you're talking about the different kinds of information to inform yourself on who to vote for, the different different amendments or other things that are the ballot that you need to know about. So I would say that you should read, usually before an election, you have the proponents of the different amendments or proclamations.
Yeah.
Have the people who are opposing it. You should read both sides of that. Usually your local newspaper will put out those, what they believe in an editorial, plus they'll put out what they're saying. You should go on, for candidates, they most of them have websites where they talk about what they're going to do. You should go on all of the candidates' websites, the incumbent and the challengers. So what I'm saying is, before you walk in that polling place, educate yourself.
Yes.
We're inundated with all that information before the election, so you have opportunity to educate yourself on what's going to be on the ballot. You even can get, you can go online to your local elected election commission to find out what the ballot is going. They'll give you a sample ballot, so you'll know the options plus the candidates that are on the ballot. So you can do some research that way as well.
Yeah,
it's a right that you have to vote, but educate yourself so that you're voting in the best interest of yourself and your community.
Oh my God. Thank you so much, Natasha. Yeah, before you go tomorrow, do your research tonight.
Yes.
If you're voting tomorrow, you know, read everything. Don't go there, you know, and unprepared, right? Hold on. There's another Twitter before you go. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, there's a Twitter
question. For the sake of time, I'm going to read you the Twitter question. So we have a Twitter question asking if they're receiving a lot of emails about still donating for certain candidates. Should they still donate today or is it too late?
No, it's never too late. It's never too late to donate. You know, whatever it is you're doing, $20, $5, whatever it is, it's never too late to donate the candidate that you want to win, or the candidate, you know, even when they're in office, they are continually using campaign funds for the community or their district. to help promote what they're doing. For an example, as a newsletter to keep you up to date on what it is that you're doing, they have to have that. To have their website up, they're still using funds that you donate to continue to have the website up to keep everybody informed, those kind of things. So it's never too late.
Okay.
To donate, yeah.
Okay, so it's never too late. Yeah. Thank you so much, Natasha. I know you're very busy.
You. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. So so tomorrow, please vote. Okay. Yes. Don't get intimidated. Just be prepared and do your research. Thank you so much, Natasha.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hold on. How can they reach you if they have, any questions, if they want, if they people need help or something? How can they reach you?
So my law firm is Clark Hill. Mm-hmm. And you can send me an email at lthomas@clarkhill.com.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Natasha.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh my gosh, that's so good, right, Max? Okay, my tip for the day, remember that using your vote is using your voice, and your voice is very, very important. So stay tuned. Tomorrow, all our eyes are going to be on the TV, And then please don't stress out. Relax and pray. Let's pray for the right person. Yes, that will lead us to a good future. Yeah, and for inner peace. I think that's the most important of all. And please, no more riot, no more fighting. Yeah, we just need love. Can we, instead of rioting, this week, just give love and just acceptance, okay? Not right. Can we do this? Those Korean, they do that. Give love to the next person after voting in the riot. Okay, I love you guys. Have a happy, happy Monday. Have a happy week. And I hope and pray that we will have a peaceful week this week. Bye. Give love to the next person. Through faith, love.